Luke chapter 18 from verse 9, where our Lord is giving various teachings on what it is to live in the kingdom of God. That is, what's it like to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. And in this chapter he's spoken about prayer, how we are to persist in prayer and continue in wrestling with God. Because he's our Father, he will listen. And if it is his will, and in his own time, because he's full of love, he will answer our prayers. But we are to persevere. But in verse 9, he changes the theme to those who trust in themselves for righteousness. And we have here what is called the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. So reading these words is the word of Christ, and the word that is true. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is Christ concluding, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every man or every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. May God bless the reading of his word, and looking in particular verse 13, what the publican says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here in this parable of the Pharisee and the publican, it is one of the most searching and probing parts of the New Testament. Because the Lord Jesus Christ comes to man, and he says to man, I am going to show you who you truly are. I am going to look not at the external, but look what is internal and see who you are really trusting. He is taking an x-ray, like a man who may have an injury, but it can only be seen inside. A man or a woman can look very healthy. On the outside, they look good and healthy. But when the x-ray shows, or the MRI scan, it sees there's something wrong. Bones can be broken. Cysts, bleeding inside, cancer, diseases. So often it's not the outside that looks ill, it is what is on the inside. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here. He is looking at those who outwardly say, I am healthy, I'm a good person, I'm righteous in many respects. But he looks inside. He looks away from the words. He looks away from the arrogance. And he sees you and I for who we really are. And this x-ray is needed because Christ is speaking to our target audience. Just like when books or films come out, they are targeted to a certain type of people. Teenagers, adults, those who are interested in certain hobbies. Christ here speaks this parable towards a target audience. And this audience in verse 9 is those who trust in themselves that they were righteous. It was people who said, I'm actually quite a good person. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not as bad as such and such, or I'm not as perfect as what I should be, but generally, I am a good person. That's what he says. And because they actually think they're good, they start to look upon others. And it says they despised others. Or another way of putting it, they look down on others. As if they're saying, I'm not perfect, but I'm good. I'm better than that beggar down the street. I might not be the best man in the world, but I'm a good person. I work hard. I'm honest. Unlike such and such. Those in this city, those in that area of the city, those people who do this and that and the other, those people who I read in the newspapers or watch on TV, I'm good, but they're bad. And this is the context of our Lord Jesus Christ's parable. Because he's saying these people are so arrogant and proud, they do not see who they truly are. He says they think that before God, if he was to look upon them, he would say, that is a good man. That is a righteous man. And so the Pharisee here thinks that he is righteous and good. And that is why at the end of the parable it says, one went to his home justified, and the other went to his home not. One was declared righteous before God, and the other was declared unrighteous or condemned before God. And that's the truth in the world. We may deny it, we may argue ourselves out of it, but there's only two sides before the eyes of God. There is a line in the middle, a line in the sand, and we're on one side or we're on the other. We're either righteous, good, we meet the moral law, or we do not. So either righteous or unrighteous. And Christ is saying here in this parable, the only way you can be good, the only way you can be righteous is by trusting in Jesus Christ. And he's saying here, you may deceive yourself with externals, and you may think that you're good, but think ever so closely. Come hear this parable. Come hear this story, and examine yourself. Who are you? Are you the Pharisee? Or are you the publican? Which one? And this is the narrative here. There are two men. There is a Pharisee, a religious man, a man who he thinks does good. He gives to the poor. He does his thing for charity. If you met this man, you said, that's a good man. He'd have walked in here with his suit and his tie, and you looked upon him and goes, that's a good man. He must have a good job. And he'll sit there and you say, whatever you say about that man, he's quite good. And the publican is a tax collector of the Roman. The people hated these tax collectors. They hated them because of two reasons. One, because they worked for the foreign oppressor, and so they were despised. And secondly, tax collectors had the reputation of being extortionists. They would, behind the counter, receive money, bribes, and they would charge excessive rates for themselves, and they would come to the poor and take all that they had. Not all tax collectors were like this. An office doesn't make a man sinful in his job, but often they were ones who took for granted their position. So we have the tax collector. And if he was to come in here, he is the one society would have said, you need to beware of that man. Keep your eye on him. Don't trust him. Don't let your bag in his sight and walk away. Don't. He is not to be trusted. And this is the picture of what's happening here. Two men. One who outwardly looks like he is good and honourable. And another, sinful, wretched and untrustworthy. And here in the story there are two prayers. And the true prayers reveal it all. Because how we pray reveals a lot about a man. You can speak about the Bible, you can speak goodness, but how you speak to God reveals the true heart. And by the end, as we've seen, there's two verdicts. One before God is righteous, and the other unrighteous, condemned before a holy God. And so the message here again is to examine yourselves. Are you a Pharisee, or are you this publican? Here we will see who you are. And the first thing we see is the Pharisee, who is the man who trusts in self. The man who trusts in self. Because here he comes to the temple, the time of prayer and worship, and he comes, and it says here in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee. Outwardly, this looks like a good man. He is doing what is good before God, is he not? He's coming to the place of worship, and he's coming to pray to God. And he doesn't simply do this, he gives thanks to God. God, I thank thee. You have heard this prayer and seen this man. You said, this is a religious man. He takes the things of God seriously. He's looking towards God and looking for grace. He's saying, I thank thee, God. What a wonderful man this is, to thank God for all that he has. But if we look deeply, if we look exactly what's happening here, we see he is anything but. Outwardly, he may impress others, but inwardly, he is full of pride and arrogance. And we see this, first of all, because the Pharisee stood. He stood for prayer. And it's not saying that we can't stand for praying. We've all done that today. We all stood, and we all prayed. I may have been leading, but you were praying too. You stood and prayed. Nothing wrong with that at all. In the Bible, there are various postures for prayer. But here, there's a comparison. This Pharisee stood, but in verse 13, it's the opposite with the publican. He stood standing afar off. The picture here is the Pharisee. He goes right to the front. He sits and stands there and prays. Picture the Old Testament temple, where there's a big, large building, and there's a wall surrounding it. And in the middle of this courtyard is what's called the Holy of Holies. It's the place where God dwells. It's the place you meet with God. And the Pharisee doesn't have any humility in him. He has pride and arrogance. I am a good person. I should be at the front of the crowd. I should always come and stand at the Holy of Holies. That's what he says. Now don't get us confused saying you can't sit in the front rows. It's not saying that at all. But what it is saying is that in the temple, if you went close to the ark, you were saying you were righteous. And this man goes right there and he stands and everyone can see him. He doesn't sit at the back. He doesn't sit in the middle. He comes right to the front and he says, I thank thee, O God. Because he's full of pride and arrogance in himself. And we see the arrogance come out in his prayers. 11 times he says the word I. He mentions God once and it's me, myself and I. For he says, I thank thee that I am as not as other men are. Then in verse 12 he says, I fast and twice in the week. I give tithes and all that I possess. Here's the mark of arrogance. And you know this too. If you have someone in your family, friends, colleagues, and they come and maybe you're at the dinner table or you're just sitting and someone sits down and all they talk about is themselves. You know that type of person. We've all met them. What we say about them, they're full of pride. How self-conceited is that man? Every time he comes into my house, every time I meet him in work or whatever, all he does is speak about himself. Oh, this week I did that, and I went there, and I was thinking, and I think, and I did this. You know the type of man. If someone does that, if I do that, if you do that, how arrogant and prideful are we? Me, myself, and I. And arrogance never stays with oneself. It can't. It's too lofty. It's self-love. So it starts to look at others. I did this, but what about others? And this is what this Pharisee does. He comes here and he compares himself to others. Where he says, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Or even as this publican over there. I am not like them. And that's what pride does. It accuses. It accuses. It can see everything that's wrong with everyone else. But it can't see his own problems. And this is what happens with someone who's full of pride. They accuse someone else. Think of the parable of the prodigal son. Where the young man, the young son, he wants all the inheritance of his father. And it's a wicked thing he asks that, because basically saying, you must die. Just like when someone, a parent, may die and leave all his inheritance to the children, he is saying basically, I want your inheritance. I don't care if you're alive or dead, I want your money. And the father gives him his money. And he goes away and he does live a sinful life. But by God's grace, he comes to himself and he realizes the error of his ways. And he comes home to the father. And the elder brother hears about this. The servants come to him. Your brother's coming home. He's coming home. And what does the elder brother say? Yes, my brother has turned from his wicked ways and he's coming home. Does he say that? No. The elder brother is full of arrogance, pride, and they accuse him. He probably wasted all that money in harlotry. That's what he says. He wasted that money on harlotry, prostitution. He says he wasted it all. He doesn't know that. He doesn't have a clue what his brother did. But because he's full of pride, it's always the evil. You've seen this in your own life. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's others. People just say glibly about that person. I wouldn't trust him. He's probably a thief. Someone comes here and not with a suit, not looking pretty clean. He might be poor, homeless. He smells. Oh, he's probably a drunkard or a drug addict. You know what he is? Oh, don't even spend time with him. That's the heart of pride. It judges others, it accuses, but it doesn't look to itself. And so here he looks at other people and says, they're extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers, but me, I'm a good, I'm a righteous man. But this man truly thinks this. Because when it says he trusted in himself in verse 9, it says he was persuaded, he was convinced of this. I am righteous. I am good. I read my Bible. I come to church. I'm kind. I open the door for people. I am a good man. That's his attitude. But is he really? Is he really a good and righteous man? Externally, he may look it, but he deceives himself. He deceives himself. Because our Lord Jesus Christ deals with this man, this type of man, later in Matthew 23. And the Pharisees thought they were so good and righteous that they would clean everything. And they would take some of the cups and they would wash the outside and they would make it so it looks clean. But when you looked inside, it was filthy and dirty. And Christ knows these things. And he speaks of the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. And he says, woe unto you, scribe and Pharisee. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. Because you clean the outside of the cup, but within it is full of extortion, full of excess, full of sin and unrighteousness. You may deceive others with your goodness, but I know what's in the heart of man. I know. And your heart is full of sin and full of unrighteousness. And this self-righteousness, this action of saying, I am a good person, is natural to man. I had it to myself before I was converted. And so did everyone in this room. And you may be a man or a woman or a child who thinks you're a good person. You may think at this very hour, think you are righteous. You say, I'm not perfect like someone. I may not be as bad as X, Y, and Z, but I tell you, I'm a hard working man. I provide. I'm a faithful woman, you may say. I read my Bible. I do what I can. I'm moral. That's the attitude of man, and you flatter yourself. You flatter yourself. Because the wisdom proverb says, many men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That's what happens in the world, is it not? You read the newspapers, watch television, ask someone, you may be thinking of yourself, you ask someone, are you a good person? Yeah, I'm quite a good person. And you'll give a list on why you are so. And externally you may look it, but you're not inside. Because the heart of man is sin. Sin. On the outside of the cup may be clean, but inside is dirty. Just like that old saying, the bad apple. That's what each and every one on this earth is, a bad apple. And that's what you are too. Outside you may look crisp and ripe. You may look tasty and good and healthy. But when you cut yourself open with the word of God, what do you find? A rotten core. A rotten core. Myself too. I stand there by myself. How often have we seen in society governors, politicians, presidents, celebrities, they're so smooth and good, are they not? Religious men themselves, good, family men, upright. And what happens? They're found out to be snakes in the grass. Sexual immorality. Theft. Corruption. Addiction to drug and alcohol. You see it time and time again, year in and year out. Why is it? They were good men, were they not? Good women. Upstanding. Charitable. Helped at the good causes. Then something happened. Why? Because there's something in us. Sin. That's what happens. Pride comes in. Pride. And we think we are so good. But we're not. We are just like this passage. Me, myself, and I. That's what sin comes. Sin manifests itself in two ways. Either it will outwardly break the law. It will commit adultery. It will steal. It will be arrogant. All these things. Or secondly, sin will manifest itself by denying that you're a sinner itself. That's the deception. That's the blindness. That's man. And we compare ourselves to others. People in a certain area of Grand Rapids will say, we're not like them. I'm not like them. I'm a good person. To people addicted to drugs and alcohol, how arrogant are we? I'm not like them. But yet if you look in the heart, you're no better. You are no better than them. Do you attend church? Do you attend church? If you don't, you may be this Pharisee too. In fact, you are if you don't. Because you say, why do you not go to church? I don't need it. I'm a good person. I don't need church. In fact, you may say, I don't want to go to church because see what I do? They're all hypocrites when I go there. They're so full of self-righteousness. I don't even want to be in their midst. Do you see what's even happened with that statement? By saying that, judging others, you're saying you're better. The arrogance and pride of man. And the remedy to your self-righteousness. The remedy is self-knowledge. To look at who you really are. To take the x-ray and put it upon yourself. And not see your flesh and see if it's healthy. Look at the heart. Look at the inward man. Because then you'll see what God sees. Then you'll see what the Word sees. Think of a projector screen. Think of it on the wall here. And everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever thought, those deep, dark crevices of the mind that you want no one ever to hear. No one. Deep, deep inside. On the day of judgment, there will be a projector screen. And one by one by one will be shown for man. And you won't say you're good. And you won't say you're righteous. You will see yourself for who you are. A sinner in the hands of an angry God. That's what you will see. Because think about it. Think about the times you have deceived yourself. Every time you have taken the Lord's name in vain. The time when you have stolen something that wasn't yours. The time when you have committed adultery. Physically or in the heart. Christ says, whosoever looks upon a woman lustfully within has committed adultery. The computer. The magazines. The beach. The pools. The streets. The family of your wife and or your husband. Friends. Celebrities. Think of all the time you've lusted after someone. Murder. Physically or inside. Christ says if you insult someone in your heart without cause. If you insult someone in the heart, you've committed murder. Because you've murdered their character. How often have you gossiped about someone behind their back? How often have you said things you shouldn't? How often have you been deceitful and lied? Hurt people? Hurt families? How often are even your best friend who you love so dearly, have you said things so wicked? And you think you're a good person. God sees what's inside. He sees you're a thief. He sees you're a liar. He sees you're an adulterer. He sees you as a murderer. He sees you as someone who's broken a Sabbath. He's seen you all the Ten Commandments. He comes and you say that you're good. Go to a law court. Stand before the judge. And the evidence comes clear. And you're convicted of your sin. And it says, guilty. But judge, I've given to charity before. But judge, I said some nice things to someone. Judge, I work hard. What do you think a judge will say? If he's good, he'll say, irrelevant. Irrelevant. You have broken my law. You have broken it. And you are guilty before my eyes. And you will go to jail in this world. You will go to jail for your crime. And for your crime and my crime too against God, it is hell. It's not a place we shout to scare people. It's not a word that we use to terrify people to believe in Jesus. It's a truth. It's a biblical reality where I deserve to be because I am not righteous. I am a sinner. It's a place where you deserve to be because you are not good. You are a sinner. And so because God is good and we are not, and because he's a judge, he must punish our sins. Oh, my friend, God resists the proud. And the bar of judgment for them who believe and trust in themselves is hell. This Pharisee was not justified before God. He was condemned because he's a sinner and he is self-righteous. The man who trusts and self. But secondly, here we have the opposite. We have the lying in the sand in the Pharisee, self-righteous, arrogant, proud. And on the other line, we have the publican, who everyone sees as the scum of society, filth, wretched. He's a sinner, not me. Let's see what this publican says. Because everything about this publican is humble. He's not full of self-worth or self-love. He doesn't think he's a good person. He knows who he truly is, and so he's full of humility. Unlike the Pharisee, he goes to the front, who stands at the Holy of Holies, lifts his eyes. Not this man. He stands afar off. I am not worthy to stand in the presence of God. I am not worthy. And he can't even lift his eyes as if he's saying, oh God, I can't look. I know how sinful I am. I know myself. I know my thoughts. I know my ways. I know my pride. I know it all. I know it all. He's not saying he's better than this Pharisee. He's not. He is not better. But he knows who he is inside. And he can't lift his eyes because he's full of his sin. And it's good, this is. Spiritual humility is good not to be worthy. Do you think that when you pray, you're worthy to speak to him? You who come to this house, do you think you're worthy of God? Do you think worthy of laudance of saying you're good and you're righteous? You're not. There was a man, a centurion in the Roman army, and he came to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I have a servant who is ill and diseased. Will you come and heal him? And our Lord, who always answers a faithful prayer, he says, yes, I will come and heal him. And the reply from the centurion is wonderful. It's wonderful, for he says, no, Lord, I am not worthy to have you in my house. I am a sinner. I can't. Lord, you can't. And Christ says, what faith this man has. He has greater faith than anyone in the house of Israel. And that's what we are to have, this humility, to know who we truly are. That we are, as it says here, a sinner. This is a man who knows his sin. He's not deceiving himself. He's not flattering himself. He takes his hand and he smotes his breast. How wretched I am. Oh Lord, I have broken your law. I have committed adultery. I have broken your commandments. I lie, I cheat, I steal. I'm deceitful. I am a religious hypocrite. I say to people I am good and I am not. Oh Lord, my God, I am a sinner. Is this your heart? Is this your mind?
to know the truth of who you are, whether you go to church or not, whether you're a communicant member or not, if you're sat at the Lord's table, if you're a member of First RP, irrelevant. Irrelevant. You cannot stand before God and say, I am good because I give to charity. You cannot stand before God and say, I am good because I'm hardworking. You cannot say to God, I am honest. You cannot say, I read my Bible, I pray, I've been at the Lord's table. Oh, my friends, brethren, are you a sinner? Do you confess it? Do you know it? Do you mourn it? Are you like this man spiritually beating your breast? I am a sinner before holy God. Confession, my friend, is the beginning of Christianity. It's the ABCs. To confess yourself as a sinner, the arrogance and the pride of man. But when we cut between and we open up your heart and we put it on a projector screen, when the X-ray comes out and reveals the results, we see who you really are. Hide it. Externals, do what you want. But God and the Word comes to you. This Bible is the most relevant book in the world because it knows you. It knows your heart. Lying, gossiping, backbiting, disobeying parents, speaking out of turn, stealing, laziness, all of it. It reveals you and it reveals me. And the word confess is a glorious word. The word confess, it means to acknowledge what is true. And that's what it means to confess your sins. To acknowledge what is true before God. God, I confess I'm a sinner. Because when you do, you can come to this man, this tax collector. And look at the sweetness of this prayer. He doesn't despair. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Beautiful. God, holy, judge, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what we need, friends. Humility. To as it says with Paul, he says that we are redeemed not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Mercy. It's goodness towards those who do not deserve it. That's what it is. You take a thief. You take a murderer. You take these men who go before courts. They deserve punishment. But God comes and he shows goodness to them. He shows goodness and mercy. And to you and I, you are a sinner. You are a criminal before the bar of God. And he comes to you offering mercy. Mercy, how does he do that? He does it in the Jesus Christ who died on the cross for sins. Because remember, here is at the temple. And the word here, mercy, is not the usual word for mercy. It's the word that means propitiation. It's a difficult word, a big word, but it's a biblical word. It means to avert wrath. That God, who is angry with sinners, that he comes and his wrath is satisfied, it's averted, and you do not receive the crime. You do not receive what is due to your crime. You deserve, you receive mercy. And it's a word that speaks of the Ark of the Covenant. We've heard of that, a box in the tabernacle, where there were two like angels, cherubim, and they were called the mercy seat. It's the same word. And what would happen in the Old Testament is a high priest, he would come and he would take a lamb, and on the behalf of the people, he would put his hand on the lamb's head, and it would be a transference of guilt. He would confess the sins of his people on the lamb. He would say, Lord, I am a sinner, and it would be put on the lamb. And the lamb would come and it would be sacrificed. It would be put to death because of the sin of the people. And the blood the high priest would take, and he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would go to the mercy seat, and he would sprinkle it with blood. And that would signify mercy. Forgiveness. I will forgive your sins because a lamb has died for your sins.
And this point to the one true Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, where if you put your faith in Him, your hand is upon the Lamb, and all your adultery, your lying, your thieving, your gossiping, your backbiting, your deceitfulness, all your sins are placed on the Lamb of Christ. And His is on the cross. He goes to Calvary, and He bears the punishment we deserve. He bears the punishment. And He goes, and He's mocked and scorned, and He's whipped, and He's laughed at, and He's spat upon. What you deserve and I deserve for our sins. And they come and they take a crown of thorns, and they go into His head and He bleeds. And they whip Him. They put bones on the whip and they scar Him. And He goes on the cross at Calvary. And there's the mercy seat of God. And God the Father, the Judge. If you believe in the Lord, He takes all the punishment that you deserve. And He comes and He pours the execution on Christ, a sinless, a perfect man. The adultery, the murder, the sexual immorality, the secret thoughts that are wicked, they're placed on Christ. And Christ bears it all for His people. And He dies. And He rises again. He rises. And that's the blood of the high priest saying, mercy, mercy, mercy. It's saying, forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of sins. Because there we are justified like this publican. We are freely justified, not by works of the law, but by grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And this is what I'm asking you to consider today. Everyone, where are you placing your trust, in self or in God? Are you recognizing yourself as a good person? Are you recognizing yourself as righteous, moral? Are you saying, I am not as bad as such and such? I'm not perfect, but I am a good man. May the word of God and the Holy Spirit come to you. May you be naked before His eyes. And may you see your need of a loving Saviour. Because if you do, you can trust and believe in Him. You can receive in Him, as here in verse 14 says, that you must be humbled. You must come beating your breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh my friends, He will be. He will shower you with mercy. He will give you the forgiveness of sins, if only you will believe by trusting in Him. Just look to Him. Just believe in Him, my friend. Will you do that? Will you do that? Not in your own works, not your righteousness, but emptiness, the empty hand of faith. As the poem says, nothing to Him will I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Will you do that? Will you take your faith and simply believe in Him? Will you look at your sin, your iniquity, and turn away? Would you repent from it and see it bearing on your soul? Will you see the bar of judgment and the book being open and saying, guilty, guilty, guilty? And by faith, will you take all that away? And you come to the cross and say, mercy seat, my sweet Jesus for me. Will you say, He is the one who is my wrath bearer. He has it for me. What's keeping you away, friends? Is it your pride? Do you actually think you're good? No one's good. I'm not. You're not. Stop being blind. Read your newspapers. Watch your television. Murder, war, poverty, famine, chaos. Why? No one's good. In a planet that has abundance of fruits and vegetation and animals, why is the vast majority in poverty? Greed. Wastefulness. Why is that so? Because of sin in the heart of man. But if you would come,
If you would just come to Christ, He will receive you. Maybe you're worried about your sin. Maybe you think there are not simply deep, deep, dark secrets there, but I have carried them out. I have committed heinous sins. Oh, preacher, if I was to tell you the sins I've committed, God can't forgive me. He wouldn't. Oh, my friends, I'm speaking to you. No, I'm not. God, Jesus Christ, He's speaking to you. Jesus says to you, no matter what you've committed, it doesn't matter. Adultery, murder physically. If you've murdered a man, you've been in prison. If you've committed adultery 20 times, if you're so full of filth, you can't get your eyes off a computer. If you're so full of arrogance and pride, you can't stop gossiping. It doesn't matter what it is. List them all in the world. List them all. Have you been a terrorist? Have you blown and killed thousands? Even them? They can all be forgiven in Calvary. Because that's the extent of the forgiveness of God. That's it. The Pharisee hates the cross because he has to admit that he's a sinner. Are you a Pharisee? The publican loves the cross because he is the sinner and there's forgiveness. The Pharisee didn't like Christ because often sinners and publicans would come to him and they said, this man receives sinners. Oh, Christ says, I do. And I love them so dearly in my heart. Will you not have your sins washed away? Will you not be forgiven, friends? As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed my transgressions. If you would look, He will have compassion, and He will cast all your sins to the depths of the sea. There will be no judgment for you. No one's going to bring them to you. They're forgiven. Forgiven. My friends, who do you trust in? Who is good? Is it yourself? Fear the condemnation. But if you just pray this prayer honestly with your heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, how the forgiveness will come. You'll be amazed at the peace, the clear conscience, and you will pray with joy and happiness, and you will experience the greatness and the blessedness of Christ. Trust in Him. Believe in Him for your sins. Amen. May God bless the gospel of salvation. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we pray that we are the publican. God, be merciful to us, sinners. And we ask that Thou wouldst work in the heart of men, that we would all see who we truly are, and that we cannot hide it from God or the Bible, and that we would cling to the cross of Calvary, and we would have sweet forgiveness, and we would have righteousness on our account, not of our own, but of the blessed Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to see these things and to taste salvation. In His precious name we ask. Amen.